Praise the Lord. That was good. It's a good question to ask. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Romans chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible is God's communication to you. I would suggest you read it. I would suggest you read it with enough effort that you understand it. It's not automatic that you'll understand it. And it's not because of the old English. The reason why people don't understand the Bible is they don't get deep enough in it. They don't put out enough effort to try to understand it. It's just not that interesting to them for some reason. To me, it's fascinating. There is no book that I've ever read that is as amazing as the book of Genesis. Just, I come to tears every time I read it. It just amazes me. And the rest of the Bible is just about as good. I'm telling you. You really need to read the Bible and get a good grasp of what it's talking about. It is God's communication to you. And here's a very important part. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 says, what advantage then hath the Jew? I want to talk about the advantage. Do the Jews have an advantage?
Amen.
Well, what does he say? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much. Every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Amen.
Oracles of God is talking about the Bible. God has some oracles. God talked to us. God communicated to us. And the Jews had the advantage of receiving that first. All right. Just to get you to understand, just to make sure I'm not violating the context in any way, don't want Brent to get on me. Chapter 1 of Romans goes to the trouble to point out what most of the Jews knew, and even most Gentiles know, and that is there's a good reason for Gentiles to be condemned. God has good reason to be angry at the Gentiles. I mean, he talks about what the Gentiles have done and how they've changed the glory of God into images like birds and beasts and creeping things and how they bow down to these images and they have this idolatry and they consider God to be no more than the sun or some stock of wood. Well, that's a horrible thing to think about, that God would be nothing more than that. It's been brought up recently in our open meetings how, what a silliness, and even in Isaiah talks about it, how you could cut down a tree from the forest and burn part of it to warm your hands and cook a tortilla on it, and then with what's left over, carve yourself up a little image and then bow down to that image and ask it for help. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that silly? Obviously, God has good reason to be irritated at Gentiles. Gentiles had gone crazy. What in the world? How did you get so far away from what God first gave us? It's amazing how Gentiles were clearly in the wrong. And this was obvious to any Jew that was reading this. But not only that, they got worse. Not only did they get into idolatry, they got into serious, deep, deviant sin. They got into fornication so deep. They got into homosexuality and probably transgenderism and cross-dressing and all the other deviant forms of sexuality that now everybody wants to normalize and make it out like it's okay. But what God said was, it made him angry. He did not like the way people were acting. So if you want to know if Gentiles are condemned, well, yes, they're condemned for good reason. And if you're part of that, if you're going down that road, if you like that lifestyle, if you want to live like that, well, you got God against you. God's standing up and saying, that's not right. That's wrong. And you will be condemned someday. Maybe the Supreme Court approves. Maybe Hollywood approves of your lifestyle. Maybe the professors in college approve of your lifestyle. Maybe the politicians all approve of your lifestyle. Maybe the news stations on both sides of the aisle approve of your lifestyle. But not God.
Amen.
And God's got the final word.
Amen. Amen.
Gentiles are condemned. But then chapter 2, whoa, this becomes a little bit difficult for somebody. Chapter 2 says Jews are condemned too. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. We're not sinners of the Gentiles. We're not like those folks. I mean, we aren't homosexuals and we aren't idol worshipers. We aren't like that. But you know what he says? He says, if you condemn the Gentiles for doing evil things, like what evil things? What does he say? What evil things? Backbiters, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, etc. If you know that these things are wrong and you do them, well, you're condemned too. And you have no excuse because you condemn somebody else for doing that and then you do it. You say a man should not steal, but then you steal. You think God's not going to condemn you too? You know what the big point he comes out here, he says? It's not the hearers of the law that are justified, but the doers. So it don't matter if you go to church, if it doesn't change your life. It don't matter if you have a religion, if it doesn't make any difference in how people can see you, how people look at you and say, you're no different than us. What's the point of being a Christian if it makes no difference in your life? What's the point of having the Bible if you don't put it to practice? What's the point of believing in Jesus if you don't follow him? What's the point of calling him Lord if you don't do what he says? So Jews are condemned too. Just as condemned. More condemned. What? More condemned. Yeah, why? Because they had it in front of them. Because they sat in judgment on those ignorant Gentiles with the law in front of them. More condemned because they had more light. So then comes the question. So what's the advantage of being a Jew? What was the whole point? Why did God give us an advantage of being Jews? If we're all condemned the same way. Jews are condemned by the law and Gentiles are condemned without the law. What's the advantage of being a Jew then? And then he says, much. Every way. I mean, in every way, it was an advantage. So I'm going to ask you four questions. First, is it true? Is it an advantage to be a Jew? Second, is it fair? That's a really important question, right? Because maybe it's not fair. And maybe that's not the right question. Number three, did it work? Number four, is it possible that you're missing the same things the Jews are missing? Is it possible you're in the same boat? All right, we're going to talk about the advantage. The advantage that God has given. First of all, is it true? Amen. Is it true that some people have more advantage than other people?
Yes, sir.
That's what it was brought out in Sunday school. Yeah, some people got it good and other people don't. What about all them Hottentots out there in Tahiti? Never heard. Stuck out there for generation after generation after generation. No concept of Jesus. What about those Aucca Indians in the Amazonian jungles? What about them? Never heard. Didn't know anything about it. All they knew was that everybody was a danger to them. What about those, that tribe that's on Sentinel Island that won't let anybody get on there? Not even to this day, the Indian government can't get on there. Nobody gets on there. The only way they can get on that island is to kill all those people. And they're not willing to do that. What about them? They haven't heard the name. They don't know. Is it true that some people get more light than other people? Is it true that some people have more advantage than other people? Boy, don't you know it's true. I mean, what are we arguing about, whether it's fair? Is it true? Just point it out. Have you gotten some advantages that other people didn't get?
Amen.
Is there any privilege to being white? Yes, there is, obviously, in some situations, definitely. Don't get all upset about it. It's not a political point. Who cares? But some people have some privilege. Some people have it made. Did you have a good parents?
Amen.
Good family? Well, then you were privileged.
That's right.
You had an advantage, right? Did you hear the Bible growing up? Well, that's an advantage.
Amen.
Yeah, were you born in America?
Amen.
There's a privilege.
Amen.
Were you born in Texas? Oh.
Amen.
Man, you got it made. Woo! Did you go to A&M? All right, I'm not going there. Any Texas team's fine with me. Somebody asked, who do you root for? Any Texas team, I root for them. Is it true that the Jews had a historical advantage?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it true that when they had God on their side and God was blessing them and God was giving them such laws as not had been known before, they just did not understand how wonderful this gift was? Isn't it true that when God sent them prophets, they sent them Moses and leaders like that and the prophets, and then sent them David, who also was a prophet and was a great warrior and established the kingdom and gave them peace all around? Isn't it true that they were blessed beyond all the nations in the earth? Oh, yes, they were. And when they had such wonderful precepts and understanding of God's will, and then prophets that would come and say, God says this, God says the other, and then gave them proofs that they were speaking from God. Things that came to pass that had to be signs from God to say, this is God. Isn't it true that if you had the Urim and the Thummim and God would answer your questions, wouldn't that be an advantage? They had it. Oh yeah, they had an advantage. Yes, it's historically true. But you know what Paul is saying right here? Not that it's historically true. He's saying it's true right now. Did the Jews have an advantage at the moment of the New Testament when everything, the whole world was being turned upside down? When the law itself was being set aside by the Lord himself saying, I've got new commandments for you. I'm going to set you up better, a new covenant, not like the old covenant, he says. Don't forget that's what he said. The new covenant, it's not like the old covenant. It's completely new and it's going to be better. And it was better. And the Jews saw the upheaval of everything they had, everything going wrong. And they saw that Gentiles were coming into the church and they were just wondering, what's going on? And what did Paul say? They still have an advantage. For one thing, they understood the Bible a whole lot better than the Gentiles did. I'll tell you another thing. According to the best I can tell, I read in the scriptures and it talks about the Jews wherever Paul would go, he'd preach, and it says they were divided about half and half. Half would side with Paul and follow, and half would go against Paul. And boy, do you know of any other culture, any other nation where half the people get saved? That's very rare. That's very scarce. Hadn't happened almost anywhere else. Now, there are a few tribes I have read about. New Tribes Mission, now called Ethnos 360. I don't know why they didn't like the New Tribes one anymore, but they changed their name. But it used to be called New Tribes Mission. They used to send out a prayer letter, whatever. And it would say that sometimes an entire tribe would get saved. Now, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty impressive. But what about the huge groups of people? Did half the Persians get saved? I don't think so. Did half the Greeks get saved? Did half the Macedonians? Did half the Corinthians? No, not even close. Did half the Romans get saved? No. Are half the Americans saved? Not even close. But half the Jews got saved. I'd say that's an advantage. Wow, that's a blessing. Now God wanted them all to get saved, and someday they will. They're all going to get saved. Says so. Yep. Romans chapter 11 says so in the Old Testament a few times too. Says that all Israel's going to be saved. Whoa, that's going to be something else. Is that an advantage? You bet your bottom dollar that's an advantage. That's great. I'd love all my family to be saved.
Amen.
You know, when I pray for my children, I pray for all of them.
Amen.
I don't say, God save 80% of them. I don't say, God save half of them. When I pray for my grandchildren, I don't have any great-grandchildren, don't. He does, I don't. But when I pray for my grandchildren, I pray for all of them.
Amen.
One at a time, I say, Lord, what about this one? Don't let him go off the wrong way.
Amen.
Protect them from the deceit. Protect them from the evil in this world. God, speak to them when it's time so they hear your voice and they follow you.
Amen.
I pray for all of them. But what a blessing if they all got saved and followed God. What a blessing. That's an advantage. I'm telling you, that's wonderful. Is it true? Is it true that some nations flourish and other nations suffer? Is it true that some nations conquer and others are conquered and oppressed? Yeah, it's true. Now, some people might complain because then you have to ask the question, is it fair? Boy, Americans want it to be fair. And they can look at God and say, well, God, that's not fair. In fact, I know some people who go to the trouble to prove that God, according to the Bible, is not fair. And that gives them an argument to say that he doesn't even exist. And I just want to point out that is a very flawed argument. Because God might not consider fairness the only criteria of importance. In fact, it might not be the most important criteria at all. Fairness might be the whole wrong question you're asking. Maybe it's not about fairness. Maybe it's about grace. Maybe it's not about fairness. Maybe it's about function. I've given the example a number of times. If I were to really emphasize fairness, I would let my left hand hold the hammer sometimes. And my right hand hold the nail sometimes. At least half the time, right? Do you do that? Do you make sure that your both hands get an equal amount of time with the hammer? Or do you go to the trouble to say, left hand, suck it up. You're going to hold the nail again. And if the left hand says, but why? It's not fair. You, as the owner of both hands, would say, it's none of your business why. I want the right hand holding the hammer. And if you're a lefty, I'm sorry, just switch it around. You figure it out. Do you realize that grace trumps fairness?
Amen.
And I'm just going to point out to you, even in your own life, function trumps fairness. It needs to work. It works a lot better when my right hand holds the hammer. It does work better. I have tried it the other way. And I won't do that again. I don't need to prove that point again. My left hand does not work well holding the hammer. Now you get all upset at God because he doesn't make things fair. And boy, has he not made things fair. I know ladies nowadays say, it's not fair. We want equal rights. We want equal everything. You're wrong, ladies. That's not what's important. We do not need an equal representation of women in combat.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
I don't want to be in a burning building unconscious and get a woman fire person, firefighter that can't pick me up and carry me out.
Amen.
Boy, I don't want that. I want the biggest, burliest fireman that you can find. I want him to be able to pick me up with one hand and drag me right out. It's because it's not about fairness. It's about function. So stop worrying so much about fairness. Now, I realize there are some points where you say, let's keep it fair. I mean, like if you're in a basketball game, let's just not let anybody over 6 foot tall play. Because fairness is what's important, right? Anybody over 6 foot tall can reach the net. Let's forget that. We can't have them playing. That just wouldn't be fair. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Fairness is not the most important point. I want you to think about, consider this. God, I know it's not really accurate to say that God tried something and then it didn't work, so he did something else. But before the flood, God let a lot of things go. He didn't kill Cain. Cain killed his brother. But God didn't kill Cain. He let it go. And you know what it says? The Bible says before the flood that violence filled the earth.
Yeah.
They were violent. Doesn't say idolatry filled the earth. Doesn't say fornication filled the earth. It said violence filled the earth. So God did a whole bunch of things before that, and after that, he said, we're going to make some changes. He said, so now, if somebody kills somebody, you have to have an avenger of blood go and take that life. So now we don't have that same problem that they had before the flood of violence covering the earth. Now we just got a bunch of fornicators covering the earth. Did it ever cross your mind that God had to do certain things a certain way to make it work? You see, what happens is that if you just let people live their life and give everybody a fair shake, everybody gets the same exact chance. What happens is people don't get saved, people don't follow God, people don't want to serve God. People just sort of vegetate out and go toward the way the crowd is going. That is what happens. But if you take one man and you say, I'm going to make you special, I'm going to make you know you're special, and your children are going to follow me, and you give them a set of instructions and a set of traditions, and they know that they're special, then they hold on to that specialty. They hold on to that specialness, and they treat it like it's important because God has made it clear that they're special, and they hold on to it with zeal and even with pride, and they point out how special they are, and they live all the way up to the time of Christ thinking they're so special, but they didn't get rid of all those special things that God gave them. And you know what that did? It brought an understanding of what Jesus Christ was going to do all the way to the time of Christ, because these people thought of themselves as special, and they were special. God made them special so that they would hang on to it with some zeal, and they did, and they thought they were better than you. They really did. They thought they were better than you. That's why they hung on to it with such zeal. And then it came to their understanding that it wasn't about how special they were. It was about bringing Jesus Christ to the world.
Amen.
With people understanding what he was going to do for them. And because they had all of these rules about sacrifices and about the temple and about who could go in and about priesthood and priestcraft and everything that had to be done and what you did with the lamb and the days, the solemn days of assembly and the fasting and all the stuff that God set up for them so that they would know, they would understand something that was going to be done, not on earth, but in heaven. That Jesus Christ was going to come and become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And people, when they heard that, would understand. Because God made some people special. You realize that God has given us a lot of special people.
Amen.
Sometimes they've just stood up at the right moment, at the right time, and given us a tremendous blessing. I think of Winston Churchill. I think of Abraham Lincoln. I think about the founding fathers of the American country. Special people at a special time in history that really have given us something special, something good. You might have other heroes. You might think of Martin Luther King Jr. You might think of Gandhi. There you go. Thank you. Mahatma Gandhi. Somebody who stands up and says, we got to do these things right, and becomes a leader and does something wonderful that blesses a lot of people. Well, it's not fair. No, it's not about fairness. It's about getting the blessings from them. It wasn't that God wanted to give the Jews more than he wanted to give you. It was that by through the Jews, he could give you what he gave the Jews. I know some people just can't stand the idea that God would love the Jews or that God has given Jews anything. But it's not about fairness. It's about bringing the gospel to us in a way we could understand. And that's exactly what's happened. Yeah, it is true, and no, it's not fair, but it's functional. So the question is, did it work? Did it work? Did God build a nation that knew they were special and thereby provide us with an understanding of what Jesus was going to do when he died on the cross? Oh yeah, that worked. That actually did work. Now, some Jews got themselves messed up thinking, that's not fair, they're taking away our specialness. Jesus died on the cross and now they say we're not special anymore. And that's exactly what was said. Yeah, you're not special anymore. Doesn't mean God's given them up. He doesn't mean he's done with them. It just means they're not anything special anymore. Now you're special too. Now God says, I want to save the Gentiles too. Now the gospel's preached the same to everybody all over the earth. But it's because of how it worked. God did something wonderful with the Jews, and they were special. And man, it brought the gospel to us.
Amen.
I'm amazed by what God did. What God did with the Jews, He made us understand the cross. He let you understand the cross. And He gave you a book that you can read it and find out exactly how He did this. And exactly what it means. And you can just study it out and you'll never stop studying out. It's amazing. It keeps getting deeper and deeper the more you get into it. It's amazing what God has done. And don't be all upset that you weren't the first one called. Just be happy you got called.
Amen.
What God did with the Jews was a springboard to make sure the whole world could hear the gospel. I'll tell you what, God did a whole lot of other things too. If you look at it, it's amazing. He did something with the Roman Empire. It's even prophesied in the book of Daniel that this Roman Empire was going to be stronger than all the others. And it established a universal system. Somehow, some way that the gospel could just spread. And boy, did it. And that's how the gospel got as far as Texas.
Yes.
You ought to be happy that God's not fair.
Amen.
That God says, suck it up and put up with some things. It's going to come out good, I promise you. It's going to come out better than you could have ever done it. Don't be all tribalistic and saying, we got to have Texans on top. No, it's not about that. It's about God saying, I'm going to give you all something. Every one of you are going to get a blessing. Every one of you. And it's about grace. It's not equality. It's grace. Everything you have is a gift.
Amen.
Everything you have is something you did not deserve. You are not your own idea.
Right.
God gave you stuff. Learn how to appreciate it. So now the question is it possible you're missing out on something? Is it possible that you have not realized what advantages you have? Because obviously a problem here with the Jews was some of them didn't realize, some of them were not aware, or at least the Gentiles might not have been aware of how much of an advantage it was for the Jews to have the Word of God. And I wonder if Americans realize how much of an advantage they have.
Right.
We have.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to say, well, that ain't fair. We can't talk about Americans as being special. Boy, just don't overlook what God has obviously done. God has given you stuff that He hasn't given any other nation.
Amen.
Let's just start off. He says, what is the principal advantage of the Jews? They received the oracles of God. They had the Bible in their language and they were taught how to read it. What an advantage. The first nation of literacy. They wanted all their children to be literate. That was their goal. That's what they wanted. And now all the nations are following that same lead. We want all of our children to know how to read and write and be educated. Why? Well, because God set it up with the Jews first. Man, it's an amazing thing. But have you thought about what God has given you? You realize that God gave us a universal source text for the Bible. When He combined the Vulgates and made a single universal source text for the Bible, that's called the Textus Receptus, or the received text. And you know what happened? The Bible then went all over the world translated in all these languages.
Amen.
Hundreds and hundreds of languages that the Bible got into. And we had the greatest missionary movement ever all over the world.
Amen.
You realize some people don't appreciate that. Some people think that's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, that Bible was wrong the whole time. I don't think so. I think people just are not appreciating what God has done for them.
Amen.
I think when they look at, we had a new way of thinking about these Bibles, and we get a new Bible that shows us what it really meant. And it's something you can't really trust.
That's right.
It's like doctors. A doctor, I was going talking to my doctor, and he was telling me something about some clinical studies and how they know something scientifically. I said, "Doctor, you got a problem in that we can't trust what you say. We can't trust because you got these clinical studies that are paid for by the drug companies. You can't trust them. You don't know. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I don't know. But if you can't trust them, then whoa, that's a problem. You doctors need to get some things straightened out so they can be trustworthy. And when you get government and big pharma and huge industries all getting involved and telling you what you ought to be doing, but it's not trustworthy, that's a problem. I'll tell you, it's the same problem with the Bible. You get a whole bunch of Bibles. One of them says, no, this is what it should say. And the other one says, no, this is what it should say. Well, it makes everybody wonder, I don't think it's trustworthy. And I'm telling you, you can just trust that Bible God gave you.
Amen.
God gave you the old standard universal Bible. It's just all over the world. God gave you that, and you can trust it. You get a modern version that says the same thing, no problem. You get a modern version that says something different, that's a problem.
Amen.
You don't have to trust it. Set it aside and just believe the old Bible, and it's not the old English. That's not your problem. Is it possible you're overlooking the advantage God has given you? He gave you a Bible in your language that's trustworthy.
Amen.
That's an advantage. Amen. Are you taking advantage of that? Are you assimilating that? Are you realizing how important that is? Do you realize that the founding of this nation happened because of a special circumstance in England? I don't know if you realize it. There was a Reformation that happened on the continent, but in England it took a little bit longer. There was always these factions of Reformation, but something happened over there in England. It turns out that King Henry did not have an heir, and he needed an heir, so he wanted to divorce his wife and get married to somebody who could give him an heir. Now, that's all political, and it's all a bunch of nonsense, and you realize that's not fair. He shouldn't divorce his wife and whatever, but it was all political. The Pope wouldn't give him an annulment because of politics. The Pope was in bed with King Philip of Spain or who knows what. It was all a big deal. And so, you know what happened? The King of England said, I split from the Pope. And that doesn't mean he became a real Protestant or a real believer. What it means is he claimed he was Pope. And he gave himself an annulment. And because of all this political intrigue, and by the way, he never did really get the heir he was looking for. He had to go through a whole bunch of women. Never did quite get it. All kinds of ways you can try to fix your own problems and it won't help. Sometimes you just got to trust God. But you know what happened? It split the Catholic power into two. You had the Roman Catholics and the English Catholics. And they were fighting it out amongst each other. And that allowed the believers to thrive. They were persecuted by both sides, but it caused a three-way division of the Reformation. And it caused them to thrive. And no matter where they went, they had some protection because of the other side. It's an interesting thing that all of those persecuted people came over to the Americas. They were persecuted and they had a persecution complex. Not just the dissenters, but also the English Catholics, the Anglicans, and also the Roman Catholics. They also were persecuted. All of them were persecuted. And so they came over here and they had a persecution complex. So you know what they decided? They were going to stand up for freedom of conscience.
Amen.
Freedom of religion. And that's what's happened here. It's the first place it happened. Oh yeah, it's the first place. They say in Holland it happened sort of, but not really. They say in the Council of Edict of Milan that it sort of happened, but not really. All kinds of persecution everywhere. But right here in this country, you got the freedom to live your religious life however you wanted. And the state couldn't tell you what you could and could not believe. And you still have that religious freedom to this day. I don't know how long it'll last, but is it possible that you've overlooked the advantage that you've had? Is it possible that you've not paid attention to what a tremendous gift God has given you by living right here? People in China don't have that freedom.
Right.
Anybody in China that becomes a Christian, you know what they think? He's a traitor to China. He's a foreign entity now because he has a foreign religion. That's what they think. Well, not here. You got a gift. You have an advantage. You've got the Bible God gave you that you can trust. You've got it. It's there. You can have it. You can buy it for a dollar. You can get it online for free. No royalties, no copyright. You can print your own if you want. You can hear it online. You can hear Scorby reading it. You can hear Lester Roloff reading it. You can hear me reading it. Hey, it's a gift. Do you realize what an advantage that is?
Amen.
Do you realize having the freedom to believe anything you want? Even to deny that God exists? You got that freedom. Go ahead. You got all kinds of freedom. And where there's real freedom, you can actually seek it out and find it. That's a gift, folks. That's an advantage. Oh, man. If you know how much of an advantage you have, is it possible you are not taking advantage of it like you should?
Amen.
Is it possible that you're going to be like some of those Jews and say, no, I don't care about that. I talk to Jews all the time. I work with Jewish people. They are lawyers or other people in the courts, whatever. We have some conversations. I'm just amazed at how they don't believe their own book.
Amen.
They don't appreciate it. I even have talked to some sort of Orthodox Jews, and they still don't even appreciate their own book. They don't even read it. They read the Talmud, which is a commentary on it. Have you read the book itself? Read it. It's amazing. But they don't understand. They don't appreciate the advantage that they had. They don't appreciate the gift that God gave them. They were first. They were special. And now they don't care. But what about you? You were special. God says, I'm going to bless you with freedom. I'm going to bless you with the Bible. I'm going to bless you with gospel preachers and heroes in your life and in your nation and people that stand up for truth. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have so much blessing in your life. And you waste it.
Right.
You waste it on video games.
Amen.
You waste it on going out to eat.
Amen.
You waste it on lottery tickets. You waste it on nonsense. You wasted on equality. You're going to march in the streets for equality. You're not equal, you're special. God gave you something you cannot imagine how important it is, how valuable it is, and you fritter it away like it's nothing, like it's meaningless. And you don't trust what God has given you, and you don't accept what God has offered you. Do you realize that there is no guarantee, just because you've been given this advantage, that you'll get the benefits of it?
Right.
A whole lot of Jews didn't get the benefit of that. At least half of them, I'd say, did not get the benefit of that wonderful advantage. They were condemned by the law that they knew was so special. They were condemned by it. I know that there are Americans that do not realize what a blessing they've got. What a tremendous advantage that they've had. And they might lose it because they don't appreciate it. They really could. You could actually lose the advantage that you've got because you don't appreciate it. You know what I think? I think if God's given you extra grace, you ought to seek it out with all your heart. And I think if God has given you an understanding of the gospel and you've committed to the gospel, it ought to change your life. It ought to be more important in your life. It ought to be the biggest thing. Who cares about making money? That's not the biggest thing. No. Who cares about having a nice house? Who cares about having good clothes or eating the finest meals? Those aren't the important things. God has given you such a special blessing in the gospel and in the Bible and in your freedom of religion. God has given you such specialness that you ought to be just chomping at the bits to get more of it.
Amen.
It ought to be the biggest thing in your life.
Amen.
It should never be a burden to seek it out. Somebody mentioned skipping church as if that was a good thing. Huh. You got to skip church. What? Why in the world would you want to skip church? It's the best thing that ever happened to you. God gave you freedom to worship, Freedom to praise God. Freedom to sing with all your heart. Freedom to shout out hallelujah. Freedom! Freedom to live for God. Freedom to stand up and be counted as a Christian. Freedom to stand up and not be persecuted for it. And yet there are people who don't want it, don't care about it, and wouldn't cross the street to find out about it. What advantage then? Oh, it's an advantage. Much in every way, you've got a blessing. You've got an advantage. You've got it given to you on a silver platter. Don't throw that away. Don't waste that. If you're not saved, man, I want you to know you have the best opportunity of any generation in history.
Right.
You've got the best opportunity to know the truth of God and give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't worry about fairness. It's not fair. And if God's not fair, I don't want to serve him. Don't talk like that. Realize that God has the best plan to save the most people and that he's doing the best he can to help you so you'd be saved. Don't throw that away. Give your life to Jesus Christ and accept the gift. Accept the advantage that he's given you. Mm-hmm. Become a Christian and turn your life over to him. And then live for him like it means something. Because it means something. Is there an advantage? Oh, you bet there is. There is an advantage to knowing the gospel. There is an advantage to having the Bible. There is an advantage to being an American. There is an advantage of hearing the gospel and giving your life to it. There is an advantage to living for Christ.
Right.
Don't say that that's not a profit. Don't say that it's not worthwhile. Oh, it's worthwhile. You can't see it all the time now, but it's worthwhile. Do not throw away the advantage that God has given you.
Amen.
Lord, I ask you for this congregation, if there's someone here that does not know you, Lord, that you give them no rest until they come to your feet, knowing salvation and giving their life to you. I ask you to make that happen in their life. If there's someone here that has been doubting or deceived by not realizing how important your life that you've given them is, God asks you to turn it around on them. Make them understand and dedicate their life to serving you. Don't let us be fooled by the deceitfulness of riches or the foolishness of this life. Help us to seek out all that you've given us because it is our true advantage. I ask you to bless us in our plans, where we go today, Lord, and bring us back tonight with a good heart. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm at your service if you want to talk to me about the gospel or anything I've talked about. God bless you. Come back tonight.